In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here we are, Lord, once again gathered in this place which you have anointed for us, O God. Your presence is here before we could even come here, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because you delight in visiting your people. You delight in teaching your people, O God. You delight in making yourself known more and more to each one of us, Lord God. Come, Holy Spirit, and take complete control of this place. Especially our minds, Lord, that they may not wander, they may not waver, Lord. Open our hearts, Lord God, so that your word will fall in deep into our hearts, into the fertile soils, O God, where it can grow, Lord. Anoint our lips, Lord God. Anoint our minds, Lord God, so that your word will flow, Lord God, deeply. This word that has healing powers, Lord God. This word that has got life-changing powers, Lord God. This word that can make our lives turn upside down for the good of God. And we believe in these life-changing powers of yours, Lord God. For when you are there, Lord God, our life is completely glued to you, Lord God. And this is our desire, Lord God, to be more like your Son, Jesus. As we sprinkle our sweet, precious blood, sweet Jesus, we know that there is power in this blood, Lord. Resurrecting power, Lord God. And Lord, even if we feel dead at this moment, Lord, we will arise, O God.
Amen.
Because of your power, O Lord, in each one of us, O God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mother Mary, be with us, guide us, bless us, protect us, and pray for us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
In the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It seems ages since we last met. Even 1 week seems a long one for us.
We are
missing David today, who is in Germany. We are missing Dr. Veronica and her husband, who is in the Holy Land. We are missing Ellen Gale, who is at work. And we are missing that family, Maria.
She's there.
Ah, Maria is here, okay.
Actually, my family, they are all from here.
Oh, yes. Ah, good. We miss those kids, actually. And sister, we have got a very important thing to remember, that 4:30 the group has to be out. We are always delaying them, so please. I said we, not you. Okay. We are in a beautiful, wonderful Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus just continues to speak to us. He just continues to speak to us, and never has these parables been any boring. They are always fresh and fresh as we continue to go deeper and deeper into it.
Amen.
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 Now week before last, we went through how Jesus warns us about temptations. We went through how we are not supposed to look down upon others, but treat others as our equals. We went through how to treat a believer who sins against us, you know, that we should go and meet him quietly, the steps that we should take to tell somebody that he has offended us. And then today we will go into the chapter of it's Matthew 18. Jesus tells the parable of the unforgiving debtor. Right? Forgiveness is the theme today in this chapter. And will one of you read it, please? Yeah. 21 onwards. Huh?
Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. as he began the settlement, man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into the prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. When the master called the servant in, "You wicked servant," he said, "I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brothers from your heart.
Praise the Lord. Now, in the last week, on the last chapter, we Jesus teaches us how we should treat a brother or sister who commits a sin against us, who hurts us. That is why it makes Peter ask another question to Jesus. You know, Peter is always the bold one. He comes with the new inventions. So he is asking Jesus, "Lord, how many times must we forgive somebody?" He has not even finished asking the question, and he answers it himself. He says, "Should it be 7 times? Yeah. Now, why is the figure 7? What triggered him to say 7? I know 7 is a complete figure in the Bible, but I don't think that was the reason why he said 7. Any clues? Anything? Any ideas?
How much patience can you have? Maximum 7, maybe.
But why not 10?
Huh? No, but how much you can have patience forgiving?
Right? Once a day. Once a week, you know? So 1 day per one forgiveness per day. So 7 days. Well, in the rabbinic law, a person could forgive a person 3 times. In Amos it is given. In Amos, the beginning of Amos, God has himself said, like, you know, it was deduced that God's forgiveness extends 3 offenses. Yeah, you can forgive a person once, offense, third, and 4th time, he needs to be punished. So what Peter thought, now let me be, you know, a little bit smart. He was good in calculation. So it's generous. Okay? So 3 times is the permitted one. So double makes it 6. Give 1 more extra. So he made it 7. Yeah, Peter, no? Then, but he got a shock of his life. He thought, like, you know, wow, what a generous man Jesus would say. Law is 3 times. You are giving him, you should have given him 6 times. Double. He said, 6 plus 1, 7. So he expected a pat on the back, you know, saying that, you know, well done, my chosen servant, you can forgive 7 times, this is the way you should do. But he was completely shocked when the Jesus said, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. So that Peter's head was a spun. What is 70 times 7? Yeah?
Here it is 77 times. Some say 70 times 7, yeah.
Which means there is no end.
This Bible
NIV
says 77 times.
Yeah, sister has got another version of it. I mean, an additional version of it, which she'll tell you. Then, what is mine saying here? Not 7 times, but 77 times.
Yeah.
Some say 70 times 7.
Yeah, some say.
So, in other words, like, you know what, we have got a different version of it. For example,
as many as seven times.
As many as seven. So, seven times. Multiples. Seven. You know? That means, in other words, there is no limit.
No limit.
No limit.
Continue. And some people have really taken advantage of this, right?
Yes.
They keep on hurting us, so that they want us to say to this thing.
But 77 times, my
yeah.
answer.
77 times.
Correct. Jesus answers.
Now, so in other words, now see, for example, in Matthew 5:7 also, what does it say? A man must forgive in order to be forgiven. There is no other law. A man must forgive. If you want to be forgiven, a man should forgive. You can never expect to enter the kingdom of heaven, or you can never expect God's blessing if you keep hatred in yourself and you expect God to be merciful. It never works. It will never work that way. It has never worked in the past. It will never work, because that's God's law. Because in Matthew 5:7, what it says, the Beatitudes: blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. Yeah. Matthew 6:14-15 also says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, it makes it complete clear. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Again, another verse in James 2:13 says, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Okay, so divine and human forgiveness go hand in hand. It's a must. It's a compulsion. And that is the secret. You want to be successful, if you want to be really this thing, try to forgive people. Initially difficult, but once the grace of the Lord comes into you, you find that it becomes a practice to you. And you this thing. The other day I was listening to one of the Brother Johnson, who is around. The Lord revealed to him something very good when it came to a thing called agape love. What is agape love? He says that the Lord told him, this is not in the Bible, it's not clearly written, but the Lord inspired him that if you are a Christian, everybody has got a right to hurt you. If you are a Christian, everybody has got a right to hurt you. And you have the duty to love them. You have the duty to love them. When I heard it, I said, wow, this is something good. And I began pondering over it. Now suppose Lena is a good friend of mine, right? She hurts me one day. I will be so angry with her because the best friend of mine is hurting me like that. No, I'll turn over. Somebody else hurt me, it will not be a big thing. But if she hurts me, it will be very big for me. Why? Because she's a good friend of mine. How can she hurt me? How can she do that to me? And we'll be greatest enemies. But once I said, I took her as an example. I said, if she hurts me, what is my account to this? What should I do? I should expect her to hurt me. If she doesn't hurt me, I should be wondering why she's not hurting me. You understand? It makes so much sense in me that tomorrow when somebody hurts me, I will not be perplexed. I will not be puzzled. They have got a right to hurt me. I'm a Christian, right? If I call myself a Christian, and according to this law which God has given him, you have the right to hurt me. You don't hurt me, that's my privilege, my blessing. What is my job to you then? Love you. That is the difficult part. Love you. Love you unconditionally. But once you realize that, first of all, when you're not shocked, forgiveness comes easily. If you are shocked, my God, what is this happening? Suppose your own parents, your own son, or your own mother, or your own father hurts you, knowingly or unknowingly, and what is your reaction like? No, your mind is perplexed. What about forgiveness? Forgiveness is a long way ahead. You are perplexed. You don't know what is happening. How? And the devil puts in more.
Why is that?
No, all these things come. And then you don't have the opportunity. You don't even think of forgiveness at all. It's down the drain. And then for years, that thing continues. But I want to put this into practice. Honestly speaking, I want to put this into practice. Because I'm a one also who gets very, very easily hurt. I was pondering that day and I said, yes, this law seems really good and very good, So that's for now, till now.
I don't want to move forward.
Yeah, till there.
But
yeah.
This word seven, the Lord himself tells us, seven times he asked, right? So in the beginning, who was forgiven seven times? Anybody avenges him, he should be, the Lord's punishment will go, in fact, to seven generations.
Okay.
For whom?
Yeah.
Cain. Mm. Yes? Mm. So the Lord said seven times more, you know, was this. And after that, the generation of Cain, here Lamech, you know Lamech, it says that he tells his wife and his daughter-in-laws, he says, I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. It comes from here. So he's taken, the Lord has taken from the beginning. If that was it, yes? So, you know, 77 means it is something which is on and on and on.
10 times more.
Yes. 77 times. It's double, you know, much more. Going much more beyond. But to describe about this.
Yeah, now you come to the second part of it, okay? Now this parable is very important because of the contrast of debts. One is owing the master 10,000 talents, right? 10,000 talents. Now once I've gone through this whole thing, I've came to the information that a talent was equivalent to 240 pounds. Yeah, 240 pounds was equivalent to one talent, which in Omani riyals would be 144 riyals, right? It's one talent. Now 10,000 talents, 144 into 10,000 is something like...
That one coin is said that it could have 20 years' wage.
Yeah.
It consisted of those time people's 20 years' wage, one coin. Like that, how much he had owed?
10,000.
So his whole life could not be, you know, given to pay, clear that debts. You know?
I've done some calculations. This case comes to... I can't even say it. 2,400,000 pounds. 2,400,000 pounds or 1,440,000 riyals. 1,440,000 riyals. So you can imagine at that time the amount of debt that you know he took from the king. I was wondering sometimes how did the king give him so much? And
156 Indian rupees.
See, yeah, but this also is enough for me. And 156. And what is the other debt? How much did that small fellow owed to this guy? Was just 100 denarii. Now, 101 denarii was 4 pence. Yeah, and so that 100 denarii would be 5 pounds, which in other words would be 3 riyals. So you see the difference. And for this 3 riyals, this man put him into prison. Is there any justification in this? This man, now he was supposed to be sold. The master said, sell him, his wife, his children, and everything that he owns. And even that would not make up but he begged, please forgive me, and he received a forgiveness. He goes out and he sees the small fellow there and catches him for 3 riyals. Can you see the justice over there?
Yeah.
Now this is from at that time. Yeah, this is at that time. Do you think this thing happens even today?
If not in terms of money, in some other way, like
more than terms of money. Money is like, you know, forget money. But doesn't it happen in different ways? Your attitude, your terms of, you know, even your matters, you know, something that is very trivial, you'll make such a big story, and something that God has forgiven you for such a big things, you'll take it as easy.
Granted.
Yeah. How many happens? It's prevalent today, right?
Like my Beryl used to remind me, because she knows my story. We as friends talk about how we were as teenagers and all. No, I was a horrible girl only. Only now I've changed. So whenever I shout at Royala and I tell her this is not the way and this is not the way, she look at me like that and she, what you did, this is nothing, we're talking about person. You understood? So what we are forgiven
very
is
small.
So much, and what they do, we make still much bigger.
That is
right. Instead of telling them very nicely, my God, what hypocrites we are. We should be slaughtered.
I know there are certain incidences I don't mind telling Alan, but I would want to tell him. I wouldn't want to tell in front of Elder, because he gets, once in the family we were having and we were narrating, something. So I said, why I could not go for the catechism classes. So my niece and my son got, both of them sharing, looking at each other and say, so we should be excused now if you are not going for catechism class. And why are they making noise if we are not going for catechism class? But then of course they were like, for me they took up, they said there was a reason. She had to take care of mommy, so she didn't go. But still, like, you know, whatever it is, we are supposed to forgive them. Greater than this, we have done such much more.
Yeah, coming back to this topic now, it's a very serious topic, brothers and sisters, that we have to really ponder over. Yeah, it cannot be taken lightly because of the fact that, you know, it's something that we each should ponder upon. See, what have we done, you know? Have we done something, or have we hurt somebody for a small thing? Or have we taken grudges, kept grudges in our hearts even today? Or was something that a person must have done long time ago, especially a friend whom we could not forgive? Yeah. So after this parable enlightening us, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, if there is any area in my life that, you know, that I have done this thing like this, yeah, I may be worse than this man. Yeah. If suppose a small thing, maybe we are not talking to our parents for something, for some reason, but it might be very trivial, you know, or not talking to our brothers for something. You, even for that matter, property, is it worth your love and relationship than your whatever crores that property may cost? But is it worth your enmity, a blood enmity, you know? Or should we be the, or should we realize the cross and see what God has done for us? How, if God wanted to take a revenge, what shouldn't He have done? Everything, every minute, even now, we are doing something against Him. Every moment when we sin. Yeah, so it is a very serious thing when we keep on pondering about it. And I think we should ask the Holy Spirit today to give us that grace. And if we are in that boat of the same, like this person, like, you know, having received the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of Jesus, if we are crucifying somebody for something very small and trivial, I think it's high time that we should break up this thing, call the person up and say we are sorry, you know. That is the meaning of this Bible study will actually take place when this Bible study changes our life. Changes when we should not be just hearers of the word, we should be doers of the word. James 1:22 says, you know, we should be doers of the word. And then that means practicality is very important when we study the Bible. Otherwise it just means like, you know, another storybook, another listening. When we try to do something, we should try to put it in practice. With me starting, I'm saying myself first. All these things come from me from. So let us ponder tonight when we go back home and sit in the presence of the Lord and see if we have done anything like that. If we are worse than this man who and now God is enlightening us. If we don't forgive, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. For the more you forgive, the more you will be forgiven. And believe me, like everything else, like practice makes a man perfect. You will realize when you try to forgive small people at every instant, it becomes a habit for you. You not take things much to heart. It becomes, chalo yaar, you know, I understand his weakness, his time, his temperament, his this thing. Now we expect person to be always at our beck and call. We expect him to be, you know, always shining when we are dull, right? So that we should understand that people in their own moods are capable of doing things which are contrary to what we expect of a person at all time. Are we always the same?
Here I would like to give, because you know the more especially examples help us so much, and I wouldn't be feeling backward to, you know, backslide to tell about this, you know, this is in the family that is happening, because it enriches us in our understanding. Like our own relative David's brother, he's one big black sheep in the house. He has this problem of drinking from the beginning, no? And he'll throw things, he'll even hammer mother. His wife though gone case, matlab, she goes to that extent of hitting, throwing things. He will even pull the altar and throw. It's not that, you know, you don't have sense. I don't know what is that much that you can do. Then the mother, you know, what happens is the brothers are... He is one at home. There is another brother, younger one, to that David. Little one year elder to David. He is also with them. And he also doesn't do work. We are sending money. David's elder brother sends money from Bombay. We send here from here. And they just have to stay in that big house. Eat, drink, sleep, be well. But that also they cannot do. Okay? Now when you get money, they do all these things. I want to tell you about forgiving love. Throw things here, there and all. Then the mother gets so tired, she tells, I want to leave the house and go. I want to this. And she starts cursing that son and all that, you know. It happens. And after some times, somehow, like, you know, I brush my knees here and I'm praying, you know. He will go to Potta, he'll go to the divine retreat or whatever. In the retreat, from there he will call, brother, forgive me this one. There is one day of repentance and forgiveness. That day they'll do confession, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. He will call his mother also, forgive me, forgive me. So, I'll tell you, we all grumble, you know, start telling, this fellow is like that way only. Like a dog's tail, crooked is crooked, no matter how many times you forget, it's the same story. He'll come back and do the same, go back to the divine, again he'll do the same. The mother forgives. Mother forgives from the heart. I'll tell you what is her forgiveness. The minute they come, he knows, no? Then we tell, we should teach them a lesson. We'll not send money, nothing, nothing. We'll see what he's doing. You know, if he's in a bad state, she will call up the sons and say, please send him, no? He also, he has got a family, no? He also has to eat, no? Give something like that. Okay, understood a mother's heart? Second day, send the money. He will drink, hammer her only. The same thing continues. But a mother's heart forgives. That's why the Lord relates, you know, to even though if that mother whose bone is flesh and blood, you know, may forget, but I will not forget you, nor I will withhold my forgiveness. That much it is, you know.
So two things now, sister was saying, I was saying this, two things come to my mind. One is, you know, that lady with the, who was a great sinner who came to Jesus' feet and broke the alabaster jar. They say it's Mary Magdalene. What did Jesus tell them? That because her sins are many and she has been forgiven, she has understood the depth of the forgiveness. She has understood that freedom. So our life should eventually come to a place like that when we understand what Jesus has done for us. And then, you know, always break the alabaster jars, even now with Jesus' feet, by repentance. You know, by repentance, weeping and crying and telling the Lord, Lord, have mercy on us, not for what we have done, but and for the change of life, so that we may not do it again, and we will bring somebody else on the right track. We'll make this awareness to possible to somebody else. There is also a song in the Konkani language of ours, relating to a true incident. I'll tell it for the benefit of the Filipino brothers and sisters here, and some those who don't understand. There was this man, who was he was a drunkard as well, and he was giving a lot of trouble. Yeah, he was a drunkard, yes. And one day he comes and he kicks his mother in a drunken state, and you know this thing. And one fine day, this man dies, and he is put in the coffin. Right, he's put in his coffin. Everything goes in, but his leg doesn't go in. His leg doesn't go into the coffin. One leg, huh? And they tried their level best to do whatever, they tried to push the leg in, but no, it would never go. And then suddenly the mother remembered, you know, that he had kicked him. And then she cried and said, son, I forgive you for kicking me. You know, I forgive you for kicking me. And that leg went back into proper position and then went into this. It is a true story. It was said as a song some years back by this thing. And it is, that's why I brought it up, because, you know, for those who don't know. This is the power of forgiveness, and of unforgiveness as well. You know, it has got a lot of consequences and relations.
It's so beautiful how the Lord begins with one lost coin or the lost sheep, then he takes into a little bigger one of helping others, two or three, to forgive, the community forgive, but towards one to one, it's unconditional. Like as he told one incident, I remember the same. There was this a preacher, and whose son was in love with a call girl, okay, and that was a trade of flesh, okay. But she comes into the renewal, and she falls in love with Jesus, and she's washed in the blood, right? Mm-hmm. And you are clean, yeah. And now here she's this boy, the pastor's son, falls in love with her. It so happens that he goes and tells his parents that I'm going to get married to this girl. So please allow me to do so. The parents say, no, we cannot, because she is a call girl. She was a call girl. How can we allow you?
But she changed.
Yeah, that we don't understand. We don't give. We still have, we hold. When we forgive also, never know, Baba, this person, no. We better be, we have to be alert. But our forgiveness is not complete. It still resides in our heart. Whether God has to forgive or man has to forgive. You know, it still is in our heart.
And what God says, while we were sinners, He died for us. While we were sinners, but we still keep on, as sister said, we keep on pointing other people's faults, right? He was so and so thing. We put a tag which cannot be removed. Yeah, if the person changes, if he has become a religious, but still that tag will remain. And we don't expect others to put our tags on us, you know. So we have to be very, very careful on this part.
No, Brother Neville, also one more thing, the Lord says that if you have anything against your brother,
yeah,
sister, leave that gift at the altar.
Yes.
Even our worship doesn't get accepted.
Very important point. Yes, very important point.
Correct.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. You go for worship, nothing happens. It is dead worship. It is dead worship. Better don't go than to go with a heart full of thank you, man. That's a very beautiful point you brought up. But a heart full of hatred, unforgiveness, and go, what is the point? What is the point? God is not accepting it. So are you going to just show the world that, oh, I'm taking an offering, I'm going to the church, well, we are my heart. You come out of the church and then you look at that person, your heart boils again. It doesn't make sense. You hear mass, you come out, you find that your enemy is standing there again. You know, your attitude is the same. You have received Jesus in your heart. You know, but what is Jesus changing your life at that moment? No, because you are not allowing Him to change. You know, the power of Jesus will come in only when you have an enemy. All of us do have an enemy. We can't stand certain people. Yeah, but once, when you are in the world, okay. But now once you are realizing it, you know, what is our duty to do? Is, okay, Lord, I'm trying my best. Yeah, this person irritates me. I don't like him. I just say, but just because you said forgive, I'm going to forgive him. Yeah, I clear my heart first. I may not have the guts to go and say, oh, I'm sorry, or he may not accept it in me. But first, you prepare yourself. You change your heart. Say, Lord, let it be as disengaged. Then the Lord respects your desires. He knows that you are truth. He knows that you want to forgive, and then He will make a way. You know, forgiveness first starts with you. And if we understand the meaning of actually forgiveness, you know, it is the healing of your own self more than the person else. By forgiving yourself, yeah, you are healing yourself out of so many things. You ask the doctors, what is the root cause of even headaches and things like that? It is unforgiveness, resentment. The unforgiveness has got a root to many sicknesses. And you want to really get healed, brother and sister, don't go to doctors. Sit before the doctor of doctors, you know, and empty yourself out. Empty yourself of all the venom that is in you. And you see, you will not realize, blood pressures will go down, the headaches will finish, you'll get a good sleep, no insomnia, nothing. Because of the fact that, you know, that is the root cause. And see, of all that, the Lord's prayer, every sin, the Lord has only taken forgiveness. The highest thing that God wants is forgiveness. Our Father says it all, right? So, and it, we are giving the condition, as we are telling the Father, do not forgive us, forgive us as we forgive somebody else. We are telling the Father the condition according to that prayer. So we cannot say that prayer. If you are not willing to forgive, you should not say that prayer. Believe me, I am telling you. Because in that prayer, you are telling God, forgive
our sins
as we are forgiving other people. So if you are not forgiving, the God will say, see, your own words that you are saying me, so how do you expect me to forgive? Suppose I am not forgiving you. And I am saying, forgive me as I don't forgive Shalini. So what, in other words, God, don't forgive me. See, look at the depth of it. There is a depth in it. We are telling the Lord, don't forgive me.
Put block, no? Yeah. By not forgiving, one block, two block, three block, four block. By the time, you are far away. That's why the Lord says, when you call to me and I say, why my prayers are not getting answered, why this, I'm talking not about the delay in, you know, I feel a dryness in spirit. The Lord says, don't think that my ears are not attentive to hear you, nor are my hands too short, that it cannot save you. It is your own blocks that have separated you and me. It's your own. Who has to remove? Not me. You clear up and start, because you have put them by your own mouth, not me. So that is the reason, you know, we go on putting and we go far away. The more far we are from light, we are more lukewarm, and then finally we end up with a dead spirit.
What I feel is the forgiving others. We are not doing favors for others. Instead, you're doing favor for your own self. That is one thing. Secondly, to forgive also, it takes time. You need grace of God. Not everybody can forgive. So we have to ask for the grace to give you a forgiving heart.
Yeah. And so
it comes with grace.
I think you should make this as a practice. Like I had this, and for some time, at times I forget. Keep on asking, Lord, is there anyone we need to forgive? We need to forgive. One particular time, because I had lot of this. As soon as we come into the renewal, we don't realize that we have come with so many unforgiveness. But once we come, we realize subconscious. So it was a long phase that I had to forgive from the time I was born, like school and all. They take through, no? So here only in our chapel in 93 something, when we were having deep worship, I asked the Lord, Lord, is there still anyone I need to forgive? Because I know I wrote a confession of 4 or 5 pages on forgiving people only. So still, is there is anybody? And in this chapel only, in 92-93 when this was there, I was kneeling down, wept so bitterly, why the vision so clearly. One side my auntie and one side my uncle. The Lord showing with both the hands. These are the two people you still need to forgive. So I feel, that, and then from that time, I always keep making the prayer, Lord, is there anyone I still need to forgive? Is
and
there
the
anyone?
Best part you can really clear of forgiveness is, I will never forget this. It was a same retreat and we had been led into repentance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there is this famous figure, who needed, was having so much of resentment in the heart. It was evident with everybody. And it was beautiful. And the service ended, that we forgive each other and all that. Mm-hmm. So they wished each other peace of Christ to the side and the other. And I was really feeling, okay, Lord, I pray that it will be done. Yes. Next day, we come for Mass. Right? We come for Mass. After that is the retreat. We come for Mass and that day was infinite, the retreat. During the Mass, that person who, this lady, now you have to forgive me, right? So you have, during the retreat, said, wow, praise God, I have forgiven. And you and Gracie were sitting like this way and you wish peace of Christ and you are forgiven. It was beautiful and all. Next day for the retreat, I am sitting next to Shalini. Shalini is angry with me. So she has forgiven me. During the Mass, I wish the peace of the Lord be with you, and we exchange peace of Christ. Peace of Christ and me, I'm trying to say peace of Christ. This madam doesn't look, but is looking that side only. Is it right?
No.
It's very difficult. In prayer or in whatever you may say, I forgive. I'm forgiving my brother right now. I'm doing this, doing that. Let one phone call come. Let something come. No, don't take. I'm not. For you to have that grace, take that one step forward, go and wish. Because, before that tell, Lord, I really want to get out of it. I want your grace. I want you to come, Lord. I am scared, please. But I want to do this. And when you do it, see the merciful love flowing in your heart. Jesus' love flows in your heart to get it into that person, and that person is touched.
Yeah.
You are touched, but that person is touched.
My sister was saying grace is the important thing here. Grace is always given by God. It's freely available. It's a free gift from God to us. We never earn grace. God only sees it. When can you take the grace? It's only when you have made up your mind that you are going to accept or you are going to forgive. Then that grace you can take. Otherwise that grace will not affect you at all. Grace is there in the air. It is there for your taking. But unless you have planned, you said, Lord, yes Lord, I will forgive and hence I will take this grace. That grace will give you the sufficiency that you require to forgive somebody.
This can go limited, but the Lord says it should go, be continuous, no end. Again I will falter, again I betray her, again I come back. And the best example is husband and wife. that goes further. There is that unconditional love. It's not that just because you did me today, I'll write a divorce and I'm running, go, but finish, go. No, there is forgiveness, repeated forgiveness. I had my neighbor behind, you know, when I was a teenager. And every time, Bapre, that husband used to come and hammer her like anything, drunk. And I used to wonder, how this girl fell in love with this drunkard? Then, like, you know, my neighbor, she's tell, nah, might be college time. No, they were nice. And then he might be friends and all got started. And, like, you know, we used to tell, why don't you call the police? Send him to the police. Let him be in the lock. No, no, like, it's okay. You will not believe, night she'll get hammered, next day she's on the scooter behind him and he drops her to work. You know, that sort of, it's something like, that's Jesus' love for us. No matter what I do for you, he's still there for us. That's why he took all that for us. You know, that's only understood when it is true love.
Let's close our eyes because the next chapter is a big one. Okay, let's ponder on this portion of forgiveness. Let's ponder on this, what God has taught us today on forgiveness. A very important chapter. That's why God allowed us to speak only on forgiveness today. Let us make an examination of our conscience. You know? Each one is the best judge for themselves. Father, you have blessed us with such an important topic that is close to your heart, Father God. Father, we understand the pain that you had to suffer to send your only son to die for each one of us. You showed, Father God, by doing what you could have just not done. You forgave, Father God, you forgave us, and you allowed your son to die and to take up the burden of our sins for our sake. What was the necessity, Father God, for you to save each one of us by offering, by sacrificing your only son? You could have finished us, Lord. But no, Lord, you have shown us that you are such a merciful and compassionate God. Lord, we always want you into our hearts, Lord God. We always want to be like you, Lord God. But we do not want to change our lifestyle, O God. We do not want to change the way we need to change to be like you, Lord God. Father, we understand today that forgiveness is prime in your sight. It's the greatest of attributes that a person need to have in your sight. And Father God, today, this afternoon, we ask you for your special grace, Father God. For your special grace, Father God, that we be able to extend our forgiveness to our brothers and sisters, especially those who are hurting us continuously. Father, you never said it is easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus to die on that cross. But Father, may your will be done in our lives, Father God. Because we know, Father, when we have a change of heart, your graces just flow in. Your graces just flow in. Just like in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was afraid to take that cross. But once he said, Father, your will be done, your angels came and ministered to him. The same response, Father, if we give today to you. Yes, Father, we want to forgive our brothers and sisters unconditionally. We know, Father God, that your graces are always there with us. And it will be little flood as a God. And Father, we now realize, Father God, that forgiveness does good to us first, more than the person who needs forgiveness. Because it is a balm to soothe us. It is a tonic that keeps us alive. That breaks all our... Even I believe certain cancers are a cause of this unforgiveness. Father God, today give us that grace, Father God. A special day today to give us that grace, Father God, that we, from today onwards, O God, especially after you have told us the meaning of agape love, Father God, that everybody can hurt us. It should not surprise us, O God. But Father, give us the grace to love those who hurt us. That will make us your believers, your disciples. That will show us that we are truly Christians. Father, as we leave this place, We thank you for this team that you have gathered here, Lord God, the healing ministry. They are anointed, Father God. Today they take a special message of yours, Father God, on forgiveness to even the patients there, Father God, who so many of them must be there only because of this unforgiveness in their hearts, Lord. Father, send forth your spirit right now to those people and let them, Father God, hear this word of forgiveness today. And Lord, I believe that as they hear it, Lord, many miracles will take place, Lord God, and healings will take place in those patients, Lord God, who are affected by it, Lord God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And Father, as we leave this place, bless us, Father God, as sister leads us into a blessing, we pray, Lord God, we accept us as we are, and we accept you, Father, and your blessings.
We pray, Lord bless us and keep us.
Lord bless us and keep us.
May we rise up to receive our blessings. May our spirits be before the throne of the mercy and grace. Lord bless us and keep us.
Lord bless us and keep us.
Lord,
Lord,
make your face,
make your face
shine upon us.
Shine upon us.
O God,
O God,
be gracious unto us.
Be gracious unto us.
Lift up your countenance.
Lift up your countenance
on us.
On us.
Our household.
Our household.
And grant us.
And grant us
your peace.
Your peace.
Lord,
Lord,
lift up your countenance.
Lift up your countenance
on us.
On us.
All our prayer requests.
All our prayer requests.
Especially the patients in the hospitals.
Especially the patients in the hospitals.
And grant them.
And grant them.
Your forgiveness.
Your forgiveness.
Healing.
Healing.
And peace.
And peace.
Lord.
Lord.
Lift up your countenance.
Lift up your countenance.
Send forth your spirit.
Send forth your spirit.
And renew.
And renew.
The face of the earth.
The face of the earth.
And grant it.
And grant it.
Your peace.
Your peace.
May the favor of the Most High.
May the favor of the Most High.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Descend upon us.
Descend upon us.
And remain with us.
And remain with us.
For God's greater glory.
For God's greater glory.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Jesus is Lord.
Now and forever.
Now and forever.
Jesus is Lord.
Lord Jesus, you are a forgiving God, Lord God, and we want to be like you, a forgiving brother and a forgiving sister, as we agree and say,
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
brothers and sisters. Have a wonderful Holy Week. Next Friday is Good Friday. We will not have a session next Friday, and we meet Friday following, okay?
Thank you.
Bless you.
Happy
Vishu.